So 20 years ago, I met my very first Roth. It was Oren. It was shortly after that I met Alan. And as all of you know, when you deal with Roth, there are some assumptions you do have to make. And so I did have to make some assumptions from Mr. Roth here. So in spite of, maybe because of, Jennifer and I have a great love for you guys. We feel very at home here. Jennifer is not feeling well, so she didn't come, but she said to pass on her love, and sorry that she didn't get to be here with the group. A couple of quick disclaimers. Gary has graciously agreed there are two songs as part of the lesson, so I'll have some words, and Gary's going to lead a song, which I'll put up here, and I'll speak some more, and then I'll put them up here, and then Gary will... We'll sing another song, and then I'll finish the lesson. So two songs in the middle. And then one disclaimer, there's a commencement speech by a man, I think he's passed away now, but David Foster Wallace, that's called This Is Water, that I use that as some of the basis of this. And there's also a song called Even If that I use from this too. So just for some context here. So, two young fish are out for a swim. When an older fish swims by and says, "Hey boys, how's the water?" The two young fish swim on a bit, and eventually one of them says to the other, "What is water?" Sometimes the most important realities are the hardest for us to see in the midst of our lives. Think about how important water is to a fish. It's vital, it's critical. But did they see the water around them? Can we see the water around us? I want to talk about noise in our life, how we should handle it, things that distract us, things that are hard to see, things that just feel like they're part of our lives that we may miss, we may not see. But before we do, let's go to God in prayer. Lord, we come before you. We are honored that you hear our prayers, that we can come to you and make petitions. We're grateful for the church here in Pontiac. We ask that you will bless them, that they will continue to do your work, that they will pursue the truth, that they will have the courage to share that good news with those around them. We ask that you be with us now as we look into your scriptures, that we look into our lives, that we will come away encouraged, that we'll come away with a desire to be better servants and to glorify you with our lives. We ask that you will bless our time together now. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Noise gets in the way of what's important. This is a messy graph. So I want to throw up kind of a heavy definition of noise. Noise is irregular fluctuations that accompany, they're part of a signal, but are not actually the signal. They tend to hide that signal. And so it's something that's there. The signal's there, it's not the signal, but it distracts us from the signal. And so if you think about, how do we start removing some of that noise? If you remove the noise, I didn't know how well, yeah, you can see the how it was, well it show up. But if you start removing more and more noise, that signal, that clear signal, becomes easier and easier to see. And so what's the noise that's in our life? What do we encounter that might cause noise and distract us from a signal? Maybe it's authority in our life. Maybe it's the government. Maybe it's things are getting, I don't know. I always heard about people talking that as time goes on, things get worse. But and so maybe I'm getting older, but some things are kind of weird right now. Like weird, like government weird. And is that a distraction for us? Does that distract us from the signal?
Yes.
Maybe it's Maybe it's wealth, not just the love of money, but is it the ease that comes with our wealth? Maybe because our life is easy, we lose sight of the signal. Idols? Not carven idols. We don't have carved, but are there things that are more important to you than God? And we'll talk about that more in a minute. Our friends? Do our friends cause noise in our life? Do they distract us? Maybe it's pain. Day after day, something hurting, something you struggle with, maybe it doesn't go away. Does that distract you? Is that noise? Maybe where you live, your location makes it hard. Your family, who you're associated with, do they encourage you, or are they a distraction from the signal? These all can be distractions from the signal, and we'll talk more in a minute. But I'd like to, for us to turn to Luke 18. Luke 18 is a story of the rich young ruler. Luke 18, we'll start in verse 18. It says, a ruler questioned Jesus, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother." And he said, "All these things I have kept from my youth." When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "One thing you still lack. Sell all that you possess and distribute it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." But when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. And Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." I think sometimes we read this and think, wow, he was uber rich. That's not us. We have great wealth. But the point is, he had noise in his life. Jesus pointed him to something that he couldn't walk away from. Jesus pointed him to the signal, but he couldn't. He was distracted by the noise, and he walked away sad. He thought about what was important to him. We do that a lot. We think about the me. Think about, have you ever looked at a picture that you know you're in? Who do you look at first? Look for yourself. We start to think that the world revolves around us. And that can get in the way. We think about most of our situations about me. How does it impact me? So how do we determine what noise is in our lives? I want you to think about anything that gets in the way of you being one with God. Anything. Anything that your obedience to God is dependent on is noise. If God has to do this for you to obey him, that's noise in your life. That's not the signal. Let's sing Psalm 277, "Speak, O Lord."
Number 277. Do so mi do. Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth, plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in your likeness, that the light of Christ might be seen today in our acts of love and our deeds of faith. Speak, O Lord, and fulfill in us all your promises for your glory. Teach us, Lord, full obedience, holy reverence, true humility. Test our thoughts and our attitudes in the radiance of your purity. Cause our faith to rise, cause our eyes to see your majestic love and authority. Words of power that can never fail, let their truth prevail over unbelief. Speak, O Lord, and renew our minds. Help us grasp the thoughts of your plans for us. Truths unchanged from the dawn of time that will echo down through eternity, and by grace we'll stand on your promises, and by faith we'll walk as you walk with us. Speak, O Lord, till your church is built and the earth is filled with your glory.
This song talks about the Lord speaking. The Lord has spoken. He has given the signal. And verse 2 talks about the Lord teaching us full obedience, regardless of what happens, regardless of the noise, following the Lord. And that by faith, in the third verse, we will walk as God has walked. We will follow in his steps. Many of our situations that we encounter, the noise around us, is because we think about the me. But I want to look at a situation with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how their situation was about God. It wasn't about them. So let's turn to Daniel 3. I'm going to read, starting in verse 12. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and anger, gave orders to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then these men were brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar responded and said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, if you are ready, at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, bagpipes, and all kinds of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, very well. But if you do not worship, you will immediately be cast into the midst of the furnace of a blazing fire, and what God is there that can deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known, O king, that we are not going to serve your God or worship the golden image you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with wrath, and his facial expression was altered towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He answered by giving orders to heat the furnace seven times more than usually heated. He commanded certain valiant warriors who were in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in order to cast them into the furnace of blazing fire. Oddly, I'm going to stop there. We know the story, but what I want to talk through is captured already. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they could see the water around them. They knew that the easy things that they could see around them was just the noise. They could see that was what was really around them, what it was, and isolate what was important and manage the noise. What do I mean by that? We already talked about these are some of the noises in our lives. Think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Did they have problems with authority? They have a king, an all-powerful king breathing down their throats. Was that scary? That's just noise. Was there wealth? They had money. They were in places where they had it good. Were there idols? That's why they're in this situation. Because there was difficulty with idols. They were asked to bow down and worship an idol. Friends? They have each other, but they've been removed from their friends. Pain? They're going to be thrown in a furnace. Do they have the threat of pain at them? They sure do. The location? They've been taken from their home. They're in a completely different foreign land. Family? They're separated from their family. They're not with them. Any one of these we could perceive as too much. Too much. But when we think about that as noise, that is just distractions, it changes our perspective. We can think about it differently. I used to think that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego should have had enough faith to believe that God could save them. Why did they not have enough faith to save them? They say, but even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king. Why would they say that? I would like us to think about that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's faith was bigger than that. Bigger than just believing that God could save them. Not bigger than God, but bigger than some insignificant king's decision. If we think about all of those things as being noise, the king is not significant. His decision is not significant. The wealth, the friends, those are not significant. They are just noise. Yes, the king's decision was insignificant. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's faith made a life and death decision, a life and death decision. Insignificant. It didn't matter what the decision was. That was not important. Their obedience was not dependent upon God's actions. It didn't matter what God chose. They were going to be faithful to their God no matter what God did. They did not need God to rescue them from death to have faith in God. To do what Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego did, they must have viewed death differently. There must be a decision. There must be a decision and a choosing before you get to these situations, I am going to follow the signal, no matter what the noise is around me. That so much so that I view death as noise. That death is insignificant to my service to my King. And when you are in that place, when you are there, you say, "It is well with my soul." Gary, can we sing "It Is Well With My Soul," 409?
Number 409, we'll sing all four verses.
I bear it no more. Praise the Lord.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had a decision to make. We didn't read the outcome. They didn't know the outcome. We know the outcome, but it didn't matter to them. They could have said, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. The outcome did not matter to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How do we respond when our feet are held to the flame? How did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how did they separate out the noise? What were they concerned about? I think they knew whenever they focused in on the me, that that was always noise. They stood and said, they are concerned about only what God is concerned about. They had their perspective on the situation mirrored God's perspective on the situation. They knew the signal and they stuck to it. And anything that deviated from that, anything, they were not distracted by it. They knew it was noise. They knew it wasn't from God. And they stayed their course. How do we do that? Like the fish, they get caught up in our day-to-day. We can't see what's around us. But if you step back, if you can step back and pay attention, Kurt Nettles, who worships in Normal, gives his children, when they marry, so they're all married now, but he gives them advice, and he says, he told me this, I didn't tell him I was going to say this. I think he'd be fine. He says, I give them two words with their wife. And he says, pay attention. If you pay attention to your wife, to your children, things will be very different. How do we step back and pay attention to our lives, our world? How do we see the water around us? How do we see the noise? How do we make sure we're focused in on the signal? How are we aware of what is around us? Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we will then be able to determine and discern what is important. And we can have a fearless trust in our God. Psalm 62 says this, my soul, wait in silence. For God only. My hope is from Him. He is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be shaken. My God, my salvation, and my glory rest. The rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. I love my soul wait in silence. Get rid of the noise. In silence for God only. The signal. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew that God was able. And he knew that God was on their side. But regardless of the outcome, their hope was in God and God alone. And they would not be shaken. There's a concept that I read a book about. The book was called Simple Rules. And it's very effective. I always am looking for people who write books that I call it stealing lumber from the scripture. And I think this is an example of that. But I'll give you a personal example that I've... So for almost 25 years, so I've violated this once, but for almost 25 years, when I purchased a vehicle, I followed 5 rules. I had to be 10 years old or older. I never paid more than $5,000 for it. I always paid cash for it. It had to have 100,000 miles or more. And I joked that the check engine light was just permanently on. Like if you buy a 10-year-old car with 100,000, check engine light's probably going to be permanently on. So those five rules Jennifer and I discussed, we agreed upon. These are the rules that we will follow for buying a car. And we did that for 25, so I did it before we were married. But then when Jennifer and I got together, what that does is it cleans up the whole conversation. We can buy a whole range of vehicles. At one time, I had a BMW, but I followed all my rules. It was a 97 BMW. It had a tape deck in it. But it just made it simple. The decision-making process was simple because I had these rules. Let me give you another example. Dakin Kenzer, also a Normal, has traveled with Keith Barclay to China before. And he said when he would go to China, there was always a risk that they would be brought in for questioning. And that happened to him once. And he had decided beforehand, he had a rule, that if they asked him if he was a follower of Jesus, that he would answer that question as fast as he possibly could so he wasn't tempted to dance around it or to say no. He had a simple rule of, I am a follower of Christ. If someone asks me that, I will answer that quickly. These are the things that help us separate out noise, is we think through, if someone, in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's scenario, if someone asks me to bow down and worship someone else, I will quickly say, no, I'm a servant of God, and I am not dependent upon what God does or doesn't do as a result of that decision. How do we have simple rules that we follow to separate out the noise so we can stay on the signal, so we can hear the signal? The scriptures talk about things like war. What if we are at war now, a spiritual war? And I know some of you will say, yeah, I see it. I feel it. And what if the weapons of our enemy are the things we talked about? What if it is wealth? What if the ease that wealth brings to us? What if it's boredom? In our world, we have a lot of opportunity to be bored. Does that cause trouble? Do we navigate to things to alleviate that boredom that we should not? Maybe it's routine. I've lived long enough now to know that days turn into weeks, weeks turn into months, and then years will fly by. And you think, where did that go and what did I do? Does routine get in our way? Do we get set in a way and we lose sight of the signal? Is it life? Is it constant pain? Is it the day after day, the week after week? Is it the mundane? We've talked a lot about noise. We have to watch our autopilot setting. Does our routine, does the ease of our life, does the day after day, is that our noise? Has that softened our decision? We are surrounded by noise. It is to distract us. It is to blind us. And it is our life. We have that noise everywhere. God has established the signal. The things that he is focused on. We have the scriptures. Speak, O Lord. He has spoken. We get to choose the things that have meaning in our lives. What's important to you? What would cause you to look back at the old building above the clock? There was the Lot's wife looking back, right? The reference there. What would cause you to look back? We must manage and put aside the noise in our lives, the things that are about us, the things that concern us. We must step back and rise above the mundane. We rise above the life on this earth and see the water around us, identify the noise in our lives, and stay focused on the signal. To find the signal, to know the signal, you constantly have to be reminded of the signal so you hear it. Because if you start listening for the noise, if you start paying attention to the noise, the signal gets harder and harder to identify. We must be concerned about the things that God is concerned about. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were able to put aside the noise. And they had a lot of it. A lot of noise. More than most of us. Our faith, just like them, can make life and death decisions insignificant. And even if God chooses to leave a mountain unmovable, even if he decides to throw us in the fiery furnace, we'd stay our course. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of a blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O King. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O King, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Thanks.